time. That was the ending.
All sports, all the time.
The wrong button there. It looked like we were done before we started. Anyways, this is the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. As you can tell, I didn't get selected for jury duty, so Dan and I are here to roll things out. Of course, I'm the Big Jack. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up over there tomorrow. I do have to warn you, I have a doctor's appointment in the morning, so it may be up a tad later than usual. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like them while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. If you'd like them, if you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. Of course, don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
All right, Dan. So let's go all the way back to Saturday. All right. As you know, the NFL had their tryout scheduled for Colin Kaepernick. And I don't know the timeline or so. I had heard one person say 30 minutes, but I heard a couple of people say it was a few hours before. Kaepernick and his representatives changed the tryout. They changed the location. So now originally they apparently moved it to about 60 miles away to a high school. Originally he was going to have 25 teams come out and look at him. He ended up with 6. All right. There was some complaint about the fact that they wanted to record the session, but the NFL didn't want them to. And, you know, some paranoia about the NFL editing it to make him look bad. And, you know, there were 25 teams there, so it's not like anybody wouldn't have known. That was just definitely straight up paranoia. I don't know if it was from him or his agent. Anyways, Dan, what I realized after all this BS or whatever else you want to try to describe it as, I figured out one thing, and that is Colin Kaepernick doesn't want to play football anymore. He just wants to be, I don't even know how you would describe it. He just wants to be a polarizing figure, I guess, and he needs the NFL as his backdrop. Did you take anything away from this or anything? Did you see or pay attention to any of this? Because apparently he looked decent in the tryout.
No, I don't really care.
It was clear to me after all this BS that he has no desire to get back in the NFL. I think he probably realizes that, you know, if he could start, he would probably want to get back in the NFL. But the fact that wherever he goes, he would probably more than likely be a backup, even on a bad team. You know, so there's just I don't think there's the desire there to play, and I honestly just believe that he accepted this to try to get out whatever the next thing he's going to do is, whatever his next move is going to be, or, you know, whatever he decides to do. But he definitely has zero, and I mean zero interest in playing in the NFL. So,
I mean, did you think that it was just about the publicity more so than anything?
You know, at first I didn't. You know, I get that this seems, you know, this was a little shady on the NFL's part, and I can understand, you know, Kaepernick and his representatives thinking it, because I was thinking the same thing. It sounded more like a publicity stunt than it did an actual opportunity to get back into the NFL. But, you know, they did the, you know, the kind of the right thing, and they put him out there, and, you know, they invited everybody. So I don't understand the, you know, the whole conspiracy thing about the tape. But, you know, if they needed an excuse to move the tryout, that's what they used. The other thing they were complaining about was they didn't want him throwing timing routes to receivers he hadn't worked with before, because they were afraid it would look bad. So, you know, and at this point, I mean, I'm now officially done with this guy. I don't care what he does. He proved his point to me on who he is and what he wants to be, and it's time to move on and let him go his separate way or whatever else they've got going on for him. But it's definitely not going to be in the NFL. I seriously doubt if a team would even bring him in next year, you know, for camp, which is what I thought might happen. I don't even see that happening now. So, but, you know, who knows? So I just don't care enough about him now.
I mean, did you ever though? I didn't understand the point of the tryout. If they thought it was a stunt, then why were you following through with that? You know.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think he was hoping for was he would look good enough for, you know, a team to just be kind of like, well, we have to have him. We can't let this guy go. You know, we're going to have to go out and pick him up. But this, you know, this may have also been his plan. There were some people out there who have actually kind of speculated that this was it's going to end up being a Nike commercial. So, you know, we'll have to see how, you know, how that plays. But, you know, maybe that was their plan all along. Because I know, you know, he had some poignant comments afterwards. And to be honest with you, I was so fed up with it that I just tuned him out. And I honestly don't know what he said. So,
I mean, you're saying him and his crew thought it was a publicity stunt. Yeah, it's alleged that his people were going to use it as a filming opportunity for a commercial. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, if that's the rumor, then why wouldn't the NFL have heard that? You know, I mean, it's like you got two parties that don't trust each other.
Yeah, it's definitely just, you know, I mean, at this point, it's a ridiculous situation. And basically what this worked out to is the fact that, you know, now when anything comes up, all the NFL has to do is say, hey, we tried. You know, we gave him an opportunity, and this is what he did with it. So, you know, I mean, that should be the, you know, pretty much the perfect thing for him now. You know, I mean, what are they going to say? I mean, nobody's blackballing you. You know, you had a full and what appears to be fair opportunity to, you know, come out and throw, and you chose to, you know, more or less hijack the tryout and, you know, try to do your own thing. You know, so how else are they supposed to react? You know, I mean, why would a team want something like that, I guess, is what my question is now. You know, after going through this and seeing this, why would you want to sign him? So, you know, again, or, maybe it's just me and I'm reading too much into it, but I know there was a, you know, Stephen A. Smith apparently got on his Twitter account and had kind of the same poignant words for Kaepernick, and to no surprise, Eric stepped up and defended him, you know, which was to be expected. You know, even though Eric Reid is actually getting a paycheck from the NFL while Kaepernick doesn't. But yeah, I'm pretty much glad it's over and done with, and we don't have to put up with the, you know, the BS anymore. I'm still sure, you know, anytime there's an injury to a quarterback or anything, you know, they'll be like, well, maybe this team should look at Kaepernick, but, you know. So, you know, and then the other big announcement, Dan, I don't know if you saw this football announcement, but this was kind of huge, and I think you're going to have to go and actually look for the promo for it online. There's actually, I guess you'd call it a commercial. Rob Gronkowski came out and mentioned that he mentioned he had a big announcement. So all the Patriots fans, of course, were really excited because they immediately thought that, well, this means that Rob Gronkowski is coming back. Well, they put together a little segment to announce that Super Bowl weekend, Gronk will be hosting something called Gronk Beach Big Game Weekend in Miami.
So what is that?
basically, it is a Super Bowl party. So there you go. Super Bowl weekend, Gronk will be in Miami to host what is apparently going to be, I don't know if it's going to be a week long or a weekend long or whatever it's going to be, but it's going to be a party.
You got your tickets? Or?
So, you know, I'm looking here now, and it doesn't exactly say how you get to go. I'm sure more information will come out as time goes on. Apparently, this is being presented by Monster Energy, so they're the sponsor here. But yeah, I I don't know. Would you want to go if you could get tickets?
I'd want to go to Miami.
Yeah, but do you want to go to the Gronk Beach big game weekend?
Not really. I don't really care.
Well, you know, it could be the best party you've ever went to.
Yeah, I've kind of passed that up. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna bing it and see what kind of information I can get. Yeah, it doesn't look like much. It's just the same repeated stuff. So maybe there's no ticket announcements yet.
No. Do you have any lively news?
You didn't like that? Come on. That was that. I can't believe you. You didn't have any interest in going to a party hosted by Rob Gronkowski. So that's kind of hurtful. I have to tell you that you would leave Rob Gronk hanging out there like that. But I actually do have news concerning you. You know, you'll need to be in front of the TV, at 7 p.m. So I don't know if you're going to have to eat dinner in front of it or what, but on NBA TV, they have I believe it's got to be the Portland Trailblazers at the New Orleans Pelicans. And Carmelo is scheduled to debut tonight for the Trailblazers.
I don't have NBA TV.
Oh, well, you're probably going to have to go out and figure something out then, because you can't miss Carmelo, can you?
I'll catch the highlights tomorrow morning. I better make sure I put him in.
Yeah, I saw that and I said, oh, I hope I got to make sure I tell Dan that his guy is it's back. Did you go and pick him up in our league yet?
Yes, I did. That day you told me.
So, yeah, I mean, I know the Blazers have been struggling. I don't think Damian Lillard's playing tonight. I believe he's dipped up. So, we'll have to see. I know there were a lot of people counting Portland as a playoff team, and obviously it's a little too early to count anybody out. But they're off to a 5-9 start, and they've really kind of scuffled. So it gives him a chance. He did have I did hear him say today that he's got a non-guaranteed contract. So I don't know how long he'll stick around. Oh, here you go, Dan. In the new report I just got, he's going to be in the Blazers starting lineup. Originally, everybody was just saying he was just going to play. But now it's been announced that he's in the starting lineup.
Oh, he's definitely in my starting lineup.
So... So yeah, you'll be all set then. So, but yeah, and I'm realizing I don't know how your fantasy basketball season is going, but mine is slowly but surely slipping away. I don't know how big you made the IL, the injured list, but at this point. It may not be big enough for me, as I already have four guys on it. And the tough part for me now is, obviously I knew I was going to put Klay Thompson on it right away. That was my point of drafting him. So, that wasn't a gigantic deal when it was like, okay, I got to use up a spot here for him. No problem. But after that, you know, then Gordon Hayward, who was having a good season, broke his hand. Then I lost D'Angelo Russell, who I think had a, I think he had a 40-point game for me a week or two ago before he got hurt. And then last night, I lose Andrew Wiggins, who was having the best season of his career. You know, and they're listing his injury as illness. So luckily, hopefully he won't be out too long. But, I mean, I've got, you know, probably my three of my four best players right now on the IL. I don't know how the hell I'm going to beat anybody.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I've got three.
Yeah.
Ibaka, Lowry, Winslow.
Yeah, I need, you know, I needed somebody to sympathize with me because, yeah, I just, you know, I was looking at this today going, wait, they put Wiggins on the DIL. What am I going to do? So, I just need guys to come back. It's, good Lord, what is going on? So, you know, and I was actually hanging around. I think I'm in fourth overall in the league. So I'm off to probably my best start ever in basketball. I guess that makes up for me sucking in hockey. But, yeah, depending on how long these guys are gone, I'm in some serious trouble here. So, you know, maybe I'll catch a break and I'll play some dead teams. I don't know.
Mr. Fantasy didn't join, so you don't have that week coming up for you.
Yeah.
But it looks like, you know, we were battling it out, but you've actually taken me over for the fourth place. Or, you know, actually first place in our division. I'm sitting at six.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of like, I'm trying to figure out how to weather the storm. And, I mean, obviously I went in and, you know, pick guys up to replace them, and hopefully they will, they will fill the bill. But, it's only been a couple days, but I'm down right now in my matchup. I just got to figure out how to do it and hope that Wiggins isn't out too long so I can get him back and get him rolling again.
Yeah, well, I mean, if my week continues to go the way it is, I will definitely take you over. But it is only Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because I'm up 10-1.
Yeah, I was just hoping kind of making sure, everything was set up and, I'm all good. And, normally, I go through, I don't know how you do it, but, I go through on Friday and I make sure to put my Saturday and Sunday lineup in just in case, I forget or something pops up. And, yeah, I went back in and checked today, and I was like, ah, crap, got another injured guy.
Yeah, no, I've been, what do you call it, immediately doing the entire week. Because it gives you that option.
Yeah.
And then, every day I just kind of go back and take a look, especially with hockey, because I do have four goalies, and, that can change.
Yeah, and you want to play the hot goalie, so,
Yeah. Well, and, speaking of fantasy, I did want to throw out there, and you'll see it on your Twitter account, that I beat your friend Greg. I think it's Greg the Black Hole.
Yeah.
My 15th place team beat an 8-1 team by a matter of like three points, or 4 points. But it must have been just a bad week for him. And then I completely crushed Mr. Fantasy, but he completely quit on us. So.
Yeah, so, It's odd because remember how much complaining he used to do about guys who dropped out and didn't change their lineups?
You remember if I missed one day?
Yeah. Yeah. He's that guy now. No.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I was hugely surprised to meet your friend Greg.
Yeah, no, you helped me out in that league. I needed him to get a loss. So that was that was a big plus for me that you were able to beat him. So I don't know, but he was 8-1 coming in, and I think I was 8-7-3. So
you want to know the worst? The worst part for him is the fact that I forgot to switch out my quarterback, so I still had in Finley, who you traded to me.
Yes.
I could have played. Who could I have played? Oh, Nick Foles, back in the lineup, who scored 14 points, but Finley only scored a point. So, but you know,
my
big ones were I had Ridley from Atlanta, give me 26 points. Marlon Mack gave me 20 points. And then a linebacker by the name of Davis from Nolan gave me 14. So those weren't my big guys, but just kind of a big surprise to me that I beat him.
Yeah, no, I'm stuck in the division in that league where the leader is 9-2, and then there's two guys at 8-3, and I'm one of those guys. It's a tough division there. So I gotta manage. I gotta win my games and hope they end up taking an apple. But yeah, we'll see. And then hockey, I have no idea what the hell is going on with my hockey team. I can't beat anybody. I don't know. Oh. I don't know how your hockey team is doing, but I'm sure they're doing better than mine. I just can't seem to get anything rolling or anything going. I mean, I know I thought I had a good week last week, and that was only because I lost by one point. So.
Yeah, no, I'm in 19th out of 20, so.
Oh yeah, I'm up to 17th. But this week I'm playing the number one overall rated team in our league. So, and yeah, I just don't know. I've been making my changes, and I've been trying to find ways to improve my team, and it's just I just can't seem to catch a break. So I just got to hope maybe I get hot down the stretch whatever strategy I use certainly isn't working out. I really thought two good goalies was going to be the key. And I was going to be able to kind of, live through the season with two top guys. And it just it hasn't been the windfall, I guess, I thought it was going to be. So.
No, the hard part is losing my matchups like by a couple points, but it's just burying me more and more. And then, I have only one really solid goalie in John Gibson, and the other three, I have Gibson's backup, which I got in a trade from one of the top teams. And, I picked up two others just so I can try to make my, not even make the goals, but try to get some of those stats in there. And it's just, nothing's working.
Yeah, it's funny because that's almost how I feel. And, I keep telling myself, it's like, don't panic. It's still early. You got plenty of time to make it up. But, if I don't get a freaking guy who's going to get rolling and, start getting me some points, I'm just going to end up being dead in the water. So.
Well, I've got Ovi and Vladimir Tarasenko on the IL. Yeah.
So yeah, I just, I kind of keep hoping. I don't know what else to really do with it. It's tough to make a trade because, everybody just kind of wants to, rip you off. So it's difficult. Like I made one trade. I swapped out guys who were struggling. He gave me his struggling guy for my struggling guy. And sadly, his struggling guy has continued to struggle. Now he's just my struggling guy.
Oh, my whole team's just struggling, so I couldn't do that trade.
Keep telling myself, well, they're gonna break out of it. Don't worry about it. They're gonna break out of it. It's gonna, this is gonna be the week they're gonna break out of it. So. But eventually they have to, break out of it. Yeah, I seem to be, for some reason, I'm getting killed in, like, hits and blocks. I haven't won a hit all year. I'm 0-6 for our first 6 weeks, and I'm 1-5 in blocks. So apparently my team isn't very physical.
Oh, too bad we don't have that song.
Yeah.
Well, no, and that's part of my problem, too, is, the first for the I won the first week. I was all excited. I'm like, yay, good way to start off the season, and then it just kept losing. So I think third or fourth week, I reevaluated. I looked at where I was losing, and I just started dropping guys left and right and picking up, like you said, hits and blocks, I think, was one of them for me. And then plus minus was huge. And I actually turned that around. I turned around the plus minus and some of the hits and blocks. But yet, even though I've turned around the plus minus, then the other categories somehow don't live up. And that's the thing that's been, sucks the most for me is I'm still doing good. My biggest category I was losing in was face-offs lost, and then I wasn't winning face-offs won. So I went and, fixed up those categories a little bit. But then, I'm killing it in face-offs one, but the guy I'm going against gets about 10 more. So, and, I would say that face-off loss is a subcategory, but they all cost a point. So it really doesn't matter if you, how you win or lose them. But, that's just been my problem. Is, while I've picked up some of the things, some of the other ones, I picked, moved them up too. I was getting demolished in faceoffs one, so I picked it up, was able to really, move it up and get my guys getting faceoffs, and then the other guys just getting more. Same thing with goals.
Yeah.
I don't have that many guys who are scoring goals. And I don't know if, you know, hopefully maybe we'll remember when the season's over to, we'll have to like put something together, but to kind of reevaluate and look at what some of the suggestions were made with point system. But I mean, let's be honest, Big Jack, if you had changed things up, I don't think I'd be in any better position anyways. So it's funny because these guys, the new guys that are a little bit more hockey centric, and I think that's what's made our league even more attractive, but even that much more difficult compared to when we first started. If you remember that first year, you and I were at the top. And I think a lot of that was due to the fact that there wasn't a whole lot of hockey knowledge. And while we don't have as much as we would probably like, I think we were kind of the kings when it came to that, because most of the guys that were in our league were all carryovers from baseball and football.
Yeah.
And they were just doing it just for fun. And we slowly lost some of those guys out, and we keep getting all these new guys that are like really into hockey. So, that's the biggest trouble.
I miss the days when I used to win.
I know. Well, and, you know, and like I said, the new guys come in, and, you know, we've changed up like the goalie representation every year just to see how it works. And it's like, I think we started with three, was it?
I think it might have been. So,
you know, and then we found that it became harder to get goalies because I think there was one team who took up like six or seven goalies. So it was like, well, if we lower it, then it'll make it just a little bit easier. But then we found even with two, there was a lot of guys. But I think it was also because we were just losing people because they just weren't that into it. Or some people who just, like my nephew, who had no clue how to draft an auction league. He's like, I didn't get it. I'm like, what's to get? He's okay. You press bid.
Yeah, the one thing. I think we're going to get back to two games for goalies next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely one of those things. But, it's always a work in progress. I mean, there's always stuff that can be changed,
Well, and, you know, I think three would be great if we were like a 12 to 14. But with 20 teams, it's a little bit hard. But then, you know, the other side of hockey, though, too, is just because you've got the number one goalie for your team, you know, whether you grab your local team, your number one, there's no guarantee that guy's going to stay in that spot the entire season. You know, due to injuries and just the nature of hockey, guys come in and, you know, you never hear of them. And, you know, we got one here, I forgot his name already, 18 years old, just kind of tearing it up.
Yeah, well, that's like the Devils just sent out their number one goalie. You know, they in hockey, you have to put guys on waivers to send them down. So they just put him on waivers with the intent of sending him to the minor leagues because he's been struggling so badly. And he was their number one coming into the season. So you damn well know somebody in our league picked him up. Somebody paid for him in our league. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
So wait, the NHL team put him on waivers? Does that count as a move or
– Yeah, I think it counts as a move for them, not as a move in our league. So,
well, you know what I mean. I just...
Yeah. So, but I did come across, Dan, I don't know if you saw this, I think it was over the weekend or it might have been yesterday. Major League Baseball released the Hall of Fame ballot for this year, and there are 18 first-timers.
Wow.
All right. So I'll give you the name, and you tell me if they're going to get in on this ballot. All right.
Well, it's my break time, so I don't know.
Damn. Okay. Well, we'll do this when you get back. Then I will keep going with something else here. So, but yeah, like I said, they released the Hall of Fame ballot. Oddly, I didn't realize that you actually had to meet first year eligibility requirements. or you had, or I shouldn't say that, but you had to be selected by the screening committee for inclusion on the ballot. Here's some of the names that they actually left off this year. Mike Adams, I'm not sure which Mike Adams this is, because I believe there's been a few Mike Adams. The former San Diego Padre relief pitcher, Mike Adams, is who they decided didn't qualify for the ballot. Then we have Jason Bartlett, Eric Bedard, John Buck, Sean Kemp, Ronnie Cedeno, Andy Chavez, Greg Dobbs, Ryan Domet, Scott Downs, Mark Ellis, Kyle Farnsworth, Frank Francisco, Alex Gonzalez, Matt Guerrero, Scott Harrison, Coy Hill, Macier Esturez, Jason Kubel, Brandon League, Ryan Ludwig, Paul Mahomes, John McDonald, Nate McLeod, Jose Molina, Xavier Nady, Miguel Oliva, Lyle Overbay, Nick Punto, Humberto Quintero, Guillermo Quiroz, there you go, Ramon Santiago, Joe Saunders, Marco Scudero, Josh Willington, and Jamie Wright. So, yeah, I don't know what they didn't see or like about those guys, but, you know, obviously there's, you know, some names that, you know, you recognize. And, you know, honestly, I mean, to be fair, none of these guys are Hall of Famers. But, you know, I mean, it would have been nice if they'd at least gotten on the ballot to, you know, to drop in. Because to be honest with you, they added 18 guys this year, and I believe only one of them is going to end up in the actual hall, you know, voted in by the writers here. You know, there is another one. There's another one with an outside shot that's not going to get in this year, but may have a chance down the road. Don't forget, they also have what is now the Modern Baseball Era Committee. You know, and they vote. It, you know, I guess they used to call it the Veterans Committee or whatever. But there's 16 members, and you need 12 votes to get in. Here's their list of players this year. Dwight Evans, Steve Garvey, Tommy John, Don Mattingly, Thurman Munson, Dale Murphy, Dave Parker, Ted Simmons, and Lou Whitaker. And then Marvin Miller, the executive who basically is credited with discovering, you know, starting the player, or was the leader of the players union and really pushing the free agent type of movement there. For players, you know, is on that ballot as well. I obviously these guys couldn't get in on the regular ballot. So, you know, we'll see if they can, you know, if they can get in on this one, you know, but they're all, you know, they're all pretty quality players on the ballot there. I don't know if they're Hall of Fame worthy, but they're definitely talented players. You know, and then the guys, of course, you have coming back, Andrew Jones, Sammy Sosa, Andy Petit, Randy Pettit, excuse me, I'm thinking to myself there, Gary Sheffield, Todd Helton, Billy Wagner, Scott Rowland, Jeff Kent, Manny Ramirez, Omar Vizquel, Larry Walker, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling. You know, do these guys jump enough to get in? I mean, it seems like a pretty weak class. I know there was a lot of talk about Vizquel eventually getting in. So, you know, we'll have to see if maybe that would be a big jump for him this year. But, you know, there's the usual debate about Clemens and Bonds, and I know Schilling has been performing better, you know, as it goes, you know, so has Larry Walker. So you wonder, you know, if and how it is. And this is Walker's final year. This is his 10th year on the ballot. So we'll see. But like a lot of these other guys, you know, Jones and Sosa and Pettit and, sad to say, Gary Shetfield, they're just kind of hanging on. You know, they get enough votes to continue to roll over, but none of them are really close enough to get themselves in to the actual Hall of Fame. You know, and it's odd that Clemens and Bonds get all these votes year after year after year, but Sosa doesn't. And, you know, you got to kind of wonder why. I mean, I get it. Bonds is the home run champ, but, you know, I think, what is Sosa, the only guy with 360 home run seasons or something like that? Or, you know, so he's, you know, he's done the same steroid attributed things that they've done or that Bonds has done, you know, to a certain level, and yet he's not, you know, he's not really looked at, you know, in that even type of light. And, you know, you just got to kind of wonder why or what, you know, he did do or didn't do, or how it kind of shuffled that way where he was the guy. So I'm not sure, you know, honestly, how much longer he ends up even staying on the ballot, because, you know, he's always really borderline. And I mean, it doesn't matter. He's in his eighth year and he's not getting in. You know, it's just one of those things. And it always kind of baffles me when it's like, you know, why did we not look at him closer, or maybe, you know, what, or maybe, you know, him not getting that kind of credit, but for whatever reason, he's kind of left in the dust there. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, you need at least 5% to stay on the ballot. So, I don't know, you know, how it works, or, you know, what these guys think of when they continue to vote. But that's, you know, that's how it's kind of set up now. And then, like I said, there are 18 first timers. I don't know if 18 is always the number they go with. Who knows? I guess it depends how many guys are in that kind of area. But, you know, there's some fun names. And again, like I said, I don't see or notice or hear, you know, too many of these guys kind of popping up and magically getting in, you know, except for the one name who's definitely going in this year. So, you know, we'll see how that goes and what Dan thinks, but, you know, maybe he has
just Jeter.
Yeah, basically a little different opinion than I do, but here you go, Dan. Like I said, they're in alphabetical order. These are just the first year guys. You know, we start with Bobby Abreu. You got him going in this year?
No.
All right. The next one is Josh Beckett. You got Beckett getting enough votes to go in?
He was a reliever, right? Or no, he was a starter.
He was a starter, yeah. No.
Oh, that's the guy who went from Boston to L.A. back.
Yeah. He was part of
the
big trade then.
Well, then he was in Pittsburgh too, right?
Did he end up? Was that him in Pittsburgh or was it Brad Kearney? Let me check real quick on which one it was. But yeah, I believe of them ended up. Or AJ Burnett.
I mean,
yeah, it was one.
Yeah. I know Burnett was there. I thought Beckett went there too, but I could be wrong. Hey, you know, it's so hard because, you know, a lot of these guys are guys that you and I may like or respect, or, you know, even other people. But when it comes to the Hall of Fame, it's, you know, it's not the same. So I'm going to go with a no on him.
Yeah, he went from Florida to Boston to L.A.
Oh, that's right. Florida. Because he was on that World Series team.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on there, and then whatever happened with Boston there. So, but, yeah, and then the next guy is Keith Yellow, who I believe is – oh, no, I thought he had a few more. I thought he was a top save guy, but he's only at 168. So, my mistake. He was basically a reliever through his career, compiled 168 saves. You putting him in the Hall this year?
No.
All right. How about Eric Chavez, the former A great?
Ooh. I think he goes into the Hall of Great.
Yeah. All right. Here's a good one. Believe it or not, Adam Dunn is the first time guy on the ballot this year. You like Adam's chances?
No. I think his performance in Chicago killed his opportunity.
Yeah, well, and you don't hit over 200 for an entire season. You got to wonder how you're a Hall of Famer. All right,
yeah.
Next on the list is Chet Figgins. So you like Chone's chances of getting in?
Oh, wait, he's not playing anywhere?
No, you would think. So.
No.
All right. Well, this one's kind of interesting. What about Rafael Furcal, the former Braves shortstop? I think he spent some time with the Cardinals as well. He was always a pretty good player.
I think he could be close. I mean, I think you need to start a list.
Yeah.
And we'll have to, you know, I could say yes. I'm going to say yes, but I think I'd also have to reevaluate the guys I say yes to. Because they generally only have like 4 to 6 guys that get in. I know there's no limit like the NFL, but.
All right, this is another interesting one. You know, another guy who, you know, was accused of steroids but never admitted anything. Jason Giambi is in his first year of eligibility. You like Jason's chance?
I like his chances a little bit more because of his presence with the media. I'm going to put him in the yes column.
The next guy, this is another interesting guy. I heard some talk about him today about a lot of guys believing he is a Hall of Famer, and that's Raul Ibanez. I never really thought so, but the couple guys liked him this morning. You buying him as a Hall of Famer?
No. I mean, he was really great, but I just don't see that. You know, maybe if he was pivotal in a World Series win.
Yeah. You know, and now this is the obvious one. We all know Derek Jeter's going in. So what I'm going to ask you here on this one is he unanimous?
I'm going to say no, because there's going to be at least one jerk in that process.
All right. Next on the list is Paul Konerko. He's a first timer. You like Paulie's chances this year on the ballot?
I kind of like them, but let's be honest, the media forgets that they even won a World Series. So I'm gonna put him out to the pasture, or maybe out there dry for a little while.
You know, this was the other guy looking at the names. This was the other guy I thought might have a chance to get in this year, and that's Cliff Lee, who's in his first year on the ballot. You think Cliff has a shot here?
I need a little bit more background. I'm not totally.
All right. Well, he does have a Cy Young to his credit. 143-91 in his career with a 3.52 ERA. He spent time with Cleveland. From Cleveland, he went from Cleveland to Philadelphia to Seattle to Texas and back to Philadelphia. But, you know, he's got a 22-win season to his credit.
Oh, that's right.
I believe he was on a – did they win that World Series? Is he a – Oh, no, Philadelphia didn't win that World Series with him, but I believe he went to the World Series with Philadelphia one of the years they won.
Yeah.
Well,
now, you know, you jog my memory, but I'm going to go with a no.
All right, now here's another one of your favorites. How about former Cub great first baseman Carlos Pena in his first year on the ballot?
I think he was a Ray great, but no. I don't know how a guy that bats 130 is going into the Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, we had Josh Beckett earlier. Brad Penny is also on the ballot. You buying Brad as a Hall of Famer his first time on?
No.
All right. We move along here. We got J.J. Putz, who I know he had some big relief years, but I don't know if I'm buying him as a Hall of Famer. I don't know. What do you think?
Sadly, no. I mean, I think if you're going to go into the Hall of Fame as a reliever, you have to put up, I don't want to say Mariano numbers, but you got to put up some stuff.
Yeah, I think you got to be at least like 400 or 500 saves, don't you, to be a Hall of Fame reliever? So.
Yeah.
All right, three more left here. We got Brian Roberts, formerly the Orioles, then I believe he jumped over to the Yankees. You like him as a first ballot guy?
I'm the former future Cub for like 4 years. No.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of former Cubs, we got another one on the ballot, Dan, and this one has some interesting merit to it. How about Alfonso Soriano?
Ooh. He's on that teeter. You know, you could see him getting in, but you could see him not getting voted in. I'm going to go with Soriano. I know there was a lot of people who didn't like him, but I liked him.
Yeah, I don't think he's a first-year guy, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him get in down the road. I mean, he is a 40-40 guy, and that's a rarity in baseball. So,
yeah.
All right, and then the final name, we wrap up with another reliever, Jose Valverde. Again, he's another one of those guys. I don't know if he has the save numbers to get in. I can give you his total here in a minute, but let's see. He had 288 career saves over a 12-year career. Is that enough for you to put him in?
How many years did Mariano play? Was it 20, 19?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he played a while.
I think... No, I don't think he makes it, especially not in the first time.
Yeah, I just don't see it. You know, it's just, you know, while it's a nice total, and obviously he put up some really good numbers, I just don't think it's enough as a reliever. So.
No, I think if he could have crossed 300 in 12 years, I think he would have been a little bit nicer or, you know, a boost to that fame level.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, it's so tough. You know, that's such a tough position to pick a guy from that, you know, if you're not dominant for a long period of time, it's just, you know, you're just kind of, you know, what do you do with them? You know, it's like, yeah, okay, great. So.
Well, you know, and the other side of it, too, is it's the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I think that has to play a small factor into how these guys get put in. And, I mean, that's where I think Soriano has the edge because of the fame that went along with his name. Sports Time Radio, Dan.